My lab is here in the museum and also in biology, where we sort of do a lot of things. And I'll just do a brief, summary on some of the stuff we're doing right now. So we do macroevolution, so that's large-scale evolution beyond the species or population level. And we do this by getting raw data. So this is field work in the high Arctic, and we do field work in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Colombia with an O, and Niger, West Africa. And all this to collect more fossils, plants, animals. And some of them turn out to be cool crocodiles and dinosaurs and birds and other things. And here's a crocodile we named last year called Caprosuchus. But the whole list of things is just producing more and more paleo biodiversity. With this biodiversity, we're also looking at it in sort of deeper, using more technology. So here's both medical CT scanning and micro CT scanning of fossils and extant or living animals to start doing some comparative anatomy on the inside. And everything in colored here is an airspace inside the head. So on the bottom is a bird. On the top is a bird-like dinosaur. And we're now able to start look at very complex anatomies on the inside. And so this is proving to be a wealth of information that paleontologists just haven't had ever. But this is what we do. We try and connect what's going on at the genetic level to what's going on at gene expressions and cell things like death, proliferation, migration, so forth, and developmental anatomy to finally evolutionary anatomy, and then back to each other, because this should be all one circle somehow. And we're, most of the lab is actually involved with doing this kind of work, and all these images are direct images from our research. We can look at sort of the extant living animals around us and look at the genetics. But the problem is that if we're looking at, let's say, the dinosaur to bird transition, we don't have genetics involved in place there. We have a ton of fossils to look at. And all these fossils have really spectacular anatomies along with them. Here's a fossil from China, Joholornis. It's the very first bird after Archaeopteryx. And it's just one wing, of course. But our efforts to try and look at what developmentally may have been going on with these large-scale evolutionary transitions involves, and this is all again from the lab, looking at things like how cells live and die and migrate and condense and how vascular patterning, like so angiogenesis or blood, may actually be shaping tissue level patterning. You're right. And so we can do this by looking at embryos. We look at embryos. Here's an optical projection tomography that we look at. We can start doing a sort of digital overlays with these things. We've started to invent or reinvent the wheel and look at how we can start now quantify developmental space of tissues. Here's just one wing bud developing, and we can go through the whole process of development and then quantify statistically where cells are putting and or laying or giving anatomy and taking away anatomy, and bring growth factors to this. So all this hasn't been published yet, but it's the direction we're going to. And the idea is to, I'll wrap up. The idea is to see if we can really test evolution in a developmental sense. And so there has been some idea as to going from, if we can go evolution one way, why not go backwards too? And so this is what we're testing. We've just started, this is too much slides. We just started a whole new project with a postdoc looking at, so the fin to limb transition, which happened about 400 million years ago, or 375, water to land. There's one fish alive today that can actually walk underwater. And a lot of fishes can do this, but this one's particularly interesting because no one's really described it before, and it's very close to the origin of amphibians. And here's a micro CT scan that we have of this guy. And we've trained these guys to walk on land. And this is actually a fish walking on land. It's lived its entire life on land under IGA vegetable misters. And it's doing quite well. And we're now looking at the biomechanics, the muscular actions, and the detailed microanatomy of what's going on with the fins of these guys after they've lived on land their entire lives. And that's essentially looking at what environmental effects or epigenetic effects are responsible for anatomical change. In the last second, negative second, I just want to put a plug in for something that was just accepted, and so or nearly fully accepted, and that is that we're going to start three new courses this spring, May, June, 6 weeks in the high Arctic under other atmospheric and oceanic sciences, earth and planetary sciences, and geography. So, thank you.